Our worship service incorporates all of the earth elements, earth, water, air, and fire. Our stones and water ritual represents a time when we can take our cares, our concerns, our sorrows, the things that we are carrying in our life at this time, and place them, that energy, into a stone, place it into the bowl of water, which represents this beloved community. Set down that stone. Allow this community to hold it with you. During our gathering hymn, you are invited to come forward. Choose a stone out of one of the baskets located on either aisle and place it into the bowl of water. Anise is going to give us a little context for our gathering hymn, which is Come, Come, Whoever You Are. Once upon a time, a thief snuck into the room of a sleeping Buddhist monk. As the burglar rummaged about, the monk awoke. The startled thief ran into the snowy streets with the monk racing after him. "Please stop," the monk called, and the man finally did, realizing that this pursuer was no threat. "You'll need this," the monk gasped, handing the thief his own coat. "What do you mean?" the man asked. "I saw that you dashed from my room into the cold without so much as a winter wrap, and I realized that I had both a woolen blanket and a coat." Having heard this implausible tale of sainthood years ago, this is Jeffrey Lockwood, forgot the details but remembered the essential events. Ordinary people can't be morally compelled to make such extraordinary sacrifices. But for whatever reason, perhaps the sheer absurdity of such unconditional altruism, the parable stuck with me. It rattled around in my skeptical mind until the day my wife played the role of the Buddhist monk. Nan and I were headed into the mountains of Montana for a day of skiing with our children, who were 4 and 6 at the time. In the chaos of packing up that morning, we'd forgotten our daughter's mittens. But for Nan, the solution was as obvious as it was simple. She always wore 2 pairs of socks, so she removed the outer layer and pulled them over Aaron's hands. The problem solved, we headed down the trail. I found her approach rather clever, the sort of practical motherly thinking that often eludes my analytical mind, but hardly heroic. However, the bitter cold and the woolen warmth evoked the parable of the monk's coat. Among the snow-hushed pines, I remembered how the dialogue ended. "I don't understand," the man said. "It is simple. You have nothing at all to keep you warm," the monk answered. "But you are a fool to give away your coat, leaving you with only a blanket," the man replied, reaching for the garment. "If I had 2 gloves on one hand and none on the other, would I be a fool to put one of them on my bare hand?" the monk asked. The man said nothing, took the coat, and hurried down the street. When we are not alienated, when love draws us into the suffering of others, when we see our happiness entwined in their well-being, then generosity is neither foolish nor heroic. It is the simplest and most obvious choice. And thus ends our story for this morning. I invite those who are ages 7 and under, 3 to 7-year-olds, to leave for their class, which will be in room 305, with Nicole. Nicole, where are you? Nicole's at the back of the sanctuary. Kaylee is in the nursery this morning, and Owen is our stand-in DRE. We will sing one verse of number 318, We Would Be One, and the lyrics will be on the wall. These are the words of the Reverend Kayla Parker, "A Greater Good for Ourselves and Our World." I would remind you that our Split the Plate this morning is for the school vouchers that we distribute through our food pantry. If you are writing a check and you want the money to go to the Split the Plate, please put that in the memo line. You can make the check out to Brew. Or if you would prefer for it to go to your pledge or just the general operating expenses, you can either put that in the memo line or leave it blank. A greater good for ourselves and our world. We know that our financial contributions to this congregation come from sacrifice and hard work. We are so grateful for this and commit together to ensure the funds we gather collectively do a greater good for ourselves and our world than they could have done alone. May there be an offering to sustain and grow the life and mission of this congregation. May we give in love and in hope. The morning offering will now be received. Beginning last night and lasting until sundown this evening, our Muslim neighbors and friends have been engaged in a holiday celebrated worldwide, and more important than the month of Ramadan. It is Eid al-Adha, the festival of the sacrifice. It comes at the end of the Hajj, the annual pilgrimage to Mecca. Traditionally, to end this fast day, an animal such as a cow, goat, sheep, or camel is sacrificed, cooked, and the family eats part of the meat and shares the rest with their neighbors and the hungry. Eid al-Adha is connected to the story of Abraham and his son, found in Genesis 22. The story as told in the Quran is different than how it is told in the Hebrew scriptures from which it made its way into the Christian tradition. And in Judaism, this is also a minor holiday, Tisha B'Av. Each of these Abrahamic faiths puts a different spin on the story, and of course, through history to the present day, various interpretations have been developed by theologians and biblical scholars. For several reasons, I'm not going to take a deep dive into the story and its diverse meanings today. Instead, I'm using the story as a launch pad to explore the concept of sacrifice and what it means to us. So let me just briefly say that the story of Abraham and his son, Ishmael in the Islamic tradition, or his half-brother Isaac in the Jewish and Christian traditions, may be about testing Abraham's faith, his fear of Allah, God, Yahweh. It may be that Abraham tells his son about the vision that he is to sacrifice him, as in the Quran, or it may be that his son believes they are going to do an animal sacrifice. Sacrifice, giving up something for the sake of something or someone else, is as old as human history. You can find the concept in the pagan tradition. For example, the Celtic cross-quarter holiday of Lugnasa is usually celebrated on August 1st each year, the halfway point between the summer solstice and the autumn equinox. It is named for the god Lug and originated in a ritual in honor of his mother, Teltiu, who represents the dying vegetation that fed human beings. In Ireland, this is the time for cutting the first corn. So, all you vegetarians, you don't have to feel left out of sacrificial symbolism. Plants, animals, it's all the same. My colleague, Cindy Simpson, explains the pagan holiday this way. One of the major themes of Lugnasa is sacrifice. It is the first harvest, the grain harvest. Yes, many of our plans came to fruition, but at what cost? Was it worth what we gave or how we compromised? There is no suggestion that it was not worth it. The idea is to consider and reflect. Lugnasa is the first holy day of the dark half of the year, more oriented towards reflection of many kinds than action. In a little bit, I am going to ask you to begin reflecting on sacrifices you have made or those made for you by someone else. First, though, let's take a few minutes to review the kinds of sacrifices that we heard about in the readings and stories this morning. The meditation by Jeffrey Lockwood lifted up two examples of sacrificing something material that we have and giving it to someone else because they don't have that thing and it would make them more comfortable. In the case of the Buddhist story about the monk and the thief, the monk catches the thief trying to steal from him. The thief runs away, but instead of punishing the thief, the monk runs after him to give him a coat because it is cold outside, and clearly the thief is desperate to steal something in order to improve his condition. Lockwood recognizes the same dynamics in the personal story about going skiing in the Montana winter. They forgot to pack mittens for one of their daughters. Fortunately, the mother always wears two pairs of socks and is able to give her child one pair to put on her hands. Lockwood frames his story in terms of the sacrifices that parents make for their children's well-being. It is also similar to the Buddhist story because the mother has more than she absolutely needs, so she shares what she has. The chalice lighting words and the invitation, to generosity, each mentioned sacrifice as part of what we do, part of what is required to be part of this faith community. The light of our chalice, says Elizabeth Strong, is a light symbolizing sacrifice. The money we put into the offering baskets also symbolize sacrifices that we make. The paid work we do may involve giving up doing something we would much rather be doing. The part of our earnings that we pledge or give to this congregation may mean that we are going to wait a bit longer for that well-deserved vacation or getting a new car or some other desired thing. We do this because we value being part of this beloved community, and we believe in the justice love that our members and friends spread into the world through our social action programs. Another way that we often think about or are reminded of the sacrifices made by our human siblings was told through the poem by my colleague Kiama Raman. She is referring to the sacrifices that African Americans have made ever since they were brought to this continent as enslaved people. While not exactly the same, those of us who are white can relate to the images in "It Is That Time and That Place" because our forebears also made sacrifices for their descendants. Every immigrant story is a story of sacrifice. Probably every story of heroism is also a story of sacrifice. The people who risk their lives to keep others safe, law enforcement officers, firefighters, military personnel, all of them are charged with serving the greater good of human community. When they are hurt or killed in the line of duty, they have made sacrifices that most of us cannot imagine. I think, too, of the people, parents, teachers, bystanders, who put themselves in the path of bullets or other instruments of violence to protect and save the lives of others. We know this only too well from the events of last weekend. For the ones who have made the ultimate sacrifice recently and not so recently, let us take a moment of silence, please. When I was a kid, I had a lot of ear infections. I remember very specifically one night in particular when my mom was putting some kind of medication in my ears, which were very inflamed and painful. That night I said to her that I would give up something. Now that something that I can't remember now, but it was an exchange, I think, of one sense for another sense. I'd give up being able to see in order to be able to hear. It was something that was quite physically important and valuable. If I could only not lose my hearing. It was a tad dramatic, but I was crying because of the pain. What have you given up in order to have something you needed or really wanted? What have you sacrificed so that someone else might have something that they needed? What has someone you've known or loved gone without in order for you to have what you wanted or needed? Mike and I will bring around the microphones so you can share briefly, two or three sentence story only, half the length of a 1 minute mystery which I used to read. And I especially want to hear from our young people who are with us this morning. Well, I know that sacrifices are part of each and every one of our lives, whether we're wanting to voice them aloud or not. This is a community of people who give in order that others who don't have so much will be able to eat, for example, to have clothing and school supplies through our food pantry program. But we give in so many other ways, and we make sacrifices as we come together each week and as we live out our lives in this world. And I appreciate the sacrifices that each and every one of you makes throughout your lives. Will you join me now in a time of pastoral prayer? You may wish to settle yourselves more comfortably in the pews, hands in your laps, the petals of your eyelids closed over your eyes. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, be with us and among us as we pray. We are so aware of the pain and the conflict that is erupting around us in our world, in this country and elsewhere. The pain that violence causes directly and immediately to those who have family or friends who have been killed by others. The pain of heart and health issues that come suddenly and without warning. The pain of not knowing. The fear of uncertainty. And yet we know, Spirit of life, Spirit of love, that you are with us and among us, even in the midst of such devastation, such cruelty, and such unspeakable action. You are there in our responses, our knowing that we need to reach out to others rather than retreat, that there are sacrifices that we can make in order to make the world a better place. Spirit of life and of love, we celebrate the closeness of family and friends, the generosity of strangers, the love that moves in and among us throughout the world, because we know that you are a Spirit of love and a Spirit of life. Amen. Blessed be. Namaste. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.